right, let's get after it. Let's get her going here on this Friday morning. The weekend is here with Sports Radio TSN 1200. We are so glad you're along for this third day of February 2023. Gang's all here. JR, Simmer, and Hammer. And, yep, you're waking up to a very, very chilly morning. By far the coldest morning of the winter that we've had so far. The good news is it's only going to last. Well, today is by far the worst day. Tomorrow's still going to be really cold, but better. And then we'll get to the forecast. That'd be the easiest way for me to go through it. So we have an extreme cold warning in effect right now. So sunny and very cold today. High minus 25. That's the high. Wind chill values around peaking around minus 40. They'll be in the minus 30s for the entire day today. Overnight tonight, it's going to be really cold still. Wind chill values around minus 40. Tomorrow, sun and clouds. High minus 14. Wind chill will moderate to around minus 20, minus 22. By the afternoon, going to be cold in the morning, but better by the afternoon. And then by Sunday, some snow and plus one. That's right. We're going to go from, at points, minus 43 to plus one in the period of about 24 to 36 hours. But really cold today. In fact, as you wake up this morning, we are sitting at minus 23 with a wind chill at minus 35. As we say good morning, hello, welcome back. Happy Friday. Happy weekend. To Sean Simpson. How are you doing this morning, Simmer?
Good, Jer. Feeling better and, interesting to get up this morning. I think as a Canadian, only you can realize when you open the door and the crunch of the snow, along with your vehicle, the way it feels, the way the highway looks, only can you understand that if you've lived in cold places like Ottawa, Canada. So I am doing good and happy to be back on a good old Friday.
Yes. I can always tell when it's really, really cold, as you can hear the every once in a while. You can hear the old nail pop in the roof. Had a couple of those this morning.
Really?
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's the heat of the snow, not the heat, but whether that's the snow combined with the cold or whether that's just the cold. Get it every once in a while. I don't remember it happening, but I heard one this morning as I was getting up to walk to the shower. I go, bop! And I'm like, okay, I know what that is. Yeah. I don't think that's dangerous.
Yeah. Hello. And even getting the old vehicle going, as I said, it's just one of those things when. Yeah, you've been to different crazy cold places on the planet like I have in Russia and Finland. You can say there's just a certain thing there. And you're also, as you start to get going and the vehicle gets warmed up, got to say those are the days where you're happy to have a nice vehicle and a new vehicle and just kind of hunker down and ride it in. And other than Hammer and I walking across from the parking garage, it's not like you're really outside for that long. And God forbid for the people that are outside or working outside, be safe out there.
Yeah.
By the time we walked across and feeling it in the lungs, feeling it on the eyebrows, feeling it in the nose. You're feeling it everywhere. It's just, it's obviously frighteningly cold out there this morning.
It is. These are the times, if you have a vehicle, you are extra thankful for two things. Heated seats and heated steering wheel.
Yeah, and I guess
my God, that's like the best thing.
Yeah, see, we've had this discussion a few times.
I know you don't like it.
No. The heated steering wheel I love. I'm just not huge on heated seats. I like it for a little while. Yeah. But I do find more and more of the heated steering wheel. And also, based on technology, just thank God we don't have to do the old plug the car in thing. Because I'm getting out there this morning, I'm thinking, hey, if this is 40 years ago and I don't have my car plugged in, I'm probably not going anywhere right now.
Hey? Yeah. No, exactly. So yours fired up, no problem. You park outside, right?
Oh, yeah. No, it was.
Sometimes you like to park halfway into your garage when you open your snow.
Mira opens it up. And then,
in the middle of winter.
Yeah, for sure.
And then it doesn't close properly. And then there's a snowstorm predicted. Yeah. And so you have to park halfway into your garage so it doesn't snow.
Kind of looks like you had a crash.
Yeah.
Somebody kind of drove in.
Yeah. No issues there this morning.
No. And last night would have been a great night to have the sunroof open.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
And you feel the Arctic blast.
Yes.
Along with what was reported, Hammer said there was a nice snow squall came through. I did not notice that. Just kind of hunkered down, not doing a whole lot last night. But, it is, as I say, the vehicle warmed up. You get the windshield going. And, hey, you're good to go driving. And, as I say, feel thankful for that. And the roads, and when we're cruising in, not a whole lot of people out there.
You don't have to get into gruesome detail, should you so choose. You've been on the injured list, an unhealthy scratch the last couple of days. Is there anything that Hammer and I sort of coexisting in your space, but not that close, because we're kind of all in our own little rooms?
that we need to be aware of.
No. I'll be honest with you. It was not the flu, Jer. It was just a little bit of Mike Tyson, maybe went a couple rounds where a little on the sore side.
Somebody chewed your ear off or something.
Well, no. That's a good point. But just kind of something hit me and energy levels, a huge sinus thing that led to a lot of toothaches as well.
And one of those ones where you'd like somebody to punch you in the face?
No, I've never felt that, to be quite honest with you, because I have been punched in the face, and I don't like it. I can't take a punch, so I've never felt like that, but it was really...
What about the Russian goalie? So you never got one in on you,
well,
that's right.
I was smart.
You're raining blows with the blocker.
Well, not only that, Jerry, I was smart enough to put my mask on. You've been in the... if you've played in the Ontario Hockey League, and you know you get beat up like I do, you come out with full protection on. Like, I'm not one of those guys that comes out with nothing. No, you just get everything on you possibly can to protect yourself at that point. But no, yeah, it was just, hard to explain, to be quite honest with you. It was just kind of So nothing, I think you guys will be good. And we're all in separate rooms, and I'm sure we'll still have our long post-Friday meeting.
Friday ones are always the long ones.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I'm good to go. And I would say driving in. It's fun when you, I guess, thank God for the Sens also. A little light on the sports, so nice of them to throw a little bone.
We'll get to it after the break. Yeah. The firing of Troy Mann.
Wow!
But literally last night was the first night as I was doing notes for the show. In which, you know, because usually there's the Sens are playing. That's automatically kind of the lead story.
For sure.
Anything Sens related, then hockey stuff, or anything local, or anything. Last night was the first night in which it was like, geez. I don't know what I'm going to really lead with. At one point, I actually had the Belleville score from last night, but, you know,
Break it down.
It's just kind of a game.
No, I know.
In the middle.
All these ridiculous pictures from All-Star, Nick Suzuki laying on a Montreal Canadiens towel with his jersey on. I thought, is he in Pee Wee hockey or is this the NHL? Anyway,
there was, and then literally as I was kind of wrapping it up, the news dropped that... the Ottawa Senators, via the Belleville Senators, had fired the coach of their farm team, which is, well, we'll say interesting.
Yeah.
And we'll just jump off right there, actually. We'll take a break and come back because that is a really interesting story that developed late last night that we can chat about when we return. So we've got that. We'll get you set for, if you care, NHL All-Star Weekend, which kicks off tonight with the skills competition, and then tomorrow's the 3-on-3 tournament. So we'll have a little bit of that, a little bit of news regarding the Super Bowl and the NFL, though the game is still 9 days away. 67s, of course, have a busy weekend, and here in town, specifically tonight, back after what amounts to a 3-year hiatus, the Capital Hoops Classic is back as well. U Ottawa and Carleton meeting in the men's and women's basketball games, which we'll have for you here on TSN 1200. So we got lots to get to, some winning for you as well, we will. Talk to, or have, tickets to see the Sens and the Wings coming up at the end of the month. So we've got that. We will talk to Dave Poulin, our TSN Hockey Insider. He'll join us after 8. And then after 9, we're going to talk with some CFL free agency. Now, the actual day of free agency is Valentine's Day, February 14th. But the so-called legal tampering period in which you can talk to other teams' free agents actually begins this weekend, Sunday, to be specific. How much movement could we see? We'll talk to Justin Dunk, who writes for Three Down Nation. He'll join us later on this morning as well. As we continue along here on a frigid Friday, we're glad you're with us on Sports Radio TSN 1200. Live on this very frigid Friday morning with J.R. Simmer and Hammer. We're with you until 10 o'clock this morning. We've got Dave Poulin standing by, our TSN Hockey Insider. He will join us after 8 and then after 9. As mentioned, with CFL free agency legal tampering period beginning on Sunday. We're going to talk about the Red Blacks and potential movement for them and around the rest of the league with Justin Dunk, who writes for Three Down Nation. So we'll look forward to that. All right, as mentioned, it was, relatively speaking, a quiet night in the world of sports last night with the NHL on pause for All-Star Weekend. The festivities will kick off in earnest tonight with the skills competition. Well, wasn't a whole heck of a lot going on, but then we had a little bit of a bomb dropped as far as Ottawa-related sports go late last night. Let's start, first of all, with the best of times. Such as it is, as the Belleville Senators were hosting the Rochester Americans in Belleville last night.
Roby Yervente, who didn't even have a shot last week. Here come the Sens. There's a shot from Roby. He scores!
Right on cue.
There you go. Roby Arventi with a goal. He added an assist. And the Belleville Senators skated to a 5-3 win over the Rochester Americans. Roby Arventi, by the way, just back. That was his third game back after missing 3 months with injury. And that has been sort of some of the story with Belleville this year is the amount of injuries that they've had. And, of course, subsequent to that, injuries here in Ottawa and then call-ups as well. It's been hard to piece together a lineup. But anyway, that was a win last night. Short-lived ecstasy, I'm sure, for head coach Troy Mann, because shortly thereafter he was called into a meeting with Belleville general manager and Ottawa Senators assistant general manager Ryan Bonus, where he was told he was being fired in the midst of the fifth season at the helm of Ottawa's top minor league team. So, Simmer, I don't know if you were still up last night or only heard and read about it this morning, but what was your initial reaction when you heard about it?
You know what, JR? No, I didn't hear it last night. Into bed early, so I'll be honest with you. I mean, I'm just kind of getting back into kind of work mode. It's just one of those things I had to kind of read twice. I didn't really, and then I was trying to figure out which one is which because I always kind of mix them up. It just didn't make any sense, of course, between Troy and Trent. And then so you're kind of spinning. And again, I'm fortunate. I was a general manager in the American League for 7 years here. Have some experience and feel to this. It's just interesting. And I guess I'm just very cautious until I kind of understand what exactly is going on here because this seems strange to me. Ryan Bonus, by all accounts, is a well-respected hockey man, obviously from a hockey family. So from a timing standpoint, it's just strange because I'm also one of the people, and I continue to say, and history tells you, I don't put anything into winning and losing in the American Hockey League. It means absolutely nothing to me. All that matters, just like Luke Richardson and now with Mr. Mann have done, is just a great job of developing players for the Ottawa Senators. So to me, the Mann brothers have kind of been the MVP of the rebuild. The dynamic understanding, the other brothers, the assistant GM, and one has been fired. I guess I'd like to collect a little more data here to kind of understand that's what's gone on. On the surface, it just seems very bizarre in the timing itself.
Let me just pull up the statement which the Sens put out last night in announcing the firing of. Yeah. And I got to get it in front of me.
Yeah,
in no, it's, quote, yeah. In quote, so this is Ryan Bonus again. He's the GM of Belleville, said the move was necessary for, quote, the short and long-term growth of the players, as well as the cohesion in systematic play between Ottawa and Belleville, end quote. Mm-hmm. Pierre Dorion said the move was made because it was necessary to deliver improved team performance, end quote. So let's start with Ryan Bonus and your thoughts on what you've seen of the players. Now, so Troy Mann is, I said, in his fifth season. I put together kind of a short list of players that are with Ottawa now or have been at least with Ottawa for a period of time that he was the head coach for in Belleville. That list includes Drake Batherson, Alex Formanton, Josh Norris, Nick Paul, Mark Kostelic. So all of those are, at this point, although Kostelic's back down now, but those are all, or have been, full-time members of the Ottawa Senators and are all full-time NHLers. On the drafted, reasonably high and still on the development curve, and maybe this is the issue, Jacob Bernard-Docker, Lassie Thompson, the aforementioned Roby Arventi, Igor Sokolov. And I only kind of grab names that are drafted in the first two, three rounds. Once you get into mostly guys drafted 5, 6, 7, those are all just throwing darts at a dartboard, and your hope you can develop one of those guys. But it's your top drafted guys that you hope to draft, to develop into NHL.
Yeah, even the little bit of sample size with Ridley Gregg did a really good job. You get into lesser players like Parker Kelly. Be quite honest with you, Jer, I can't think of a player. And again, from the defenseman side, I don't really feel, to me, when I've watched JBD, he's trending towards there. But I don't look at it. And in Ottawa, and this goes hand in hand with everybody, I think their timing of sending people to the American League and their time there, well, I just think Coach Mann's done a hell of a job, so I certainly cannot point to any of that. When you get into the play on words, when you end up saying something like that, it's basically, again, just my interpretation of, well, he doesn't really want to play the system that DJ Smith plays. Well, I think we could certainly get into a fun debate on that one itself. And as far as kind of the long-term and short-term, yeah, it's just really, it's interesting because, as I said, There is nothing that I look at that doesn't show me that this guy has been a hell of a development coach, done a great job with all the players, and the players that have gone there have all improved, all come up, and very similar to Luke Richardson. And I guess the one thing that's interesting in the back of my mind is I thought Luke Richardson did a great job, and I can remember hearing the words, well, not hearing, simple fact is Ottawa didn't think he'd be a head coach in the National Hockey League because they didn't even grant him an interview when they ended up basically going to Guy Boucher. Said, listen, we like you, we're not going to, well, I think that's proved to be wrong. And the case of Mr. Mann, yeah, just collect more information, Jared, but on the surface for me, having a lot of experience in it, he has just done one hell of a job down in Belleville.
Mm. Okay, let me ask you a few questions that you would have, again, having experience in the job.
Yeah.
So, Ryan Bonus as the assistant GM here in Ottawa, first full season doing that, and is the general manager of the Belleville Senators, which is exactly the same as your title in Washington, right?
Yeah.
Same thing?
Yeah.
How much did the general manager in your time, in that case, I guess, George McPhee, right? David Poile, George McPhee. How much was the general manager of the NHL team kind of involved in the day-to-day stuff? Like, are you the de facto GM, but really it's the Ottawa GM that's still making all the decisions?
No. Again, as far as decisions, Jerry, you have to remember that, again, super overrated job in a sense of what I did was that, but I also did a ton of scouting. Like, I wasn't hanging around the farm team. It is, as a manager of a farm team, one of the most overrated jobs. Most of it is just quite simply making sure you have players. Like, hanging around the team and pretending you're actually doing anything, you're really not. Like, you go and you watch and you support, but it's not like a day-to-day thing. So, and how involved the manager is, it's not like all of a sudden you're making trades without the manager knowing, and generally you don't make trades anyway. You are there to develop your prospects, and kind of goes hand-in-hand with it. But really, if you want to be out, you're doing a lot more than that. And as I said, if you're kind of hanging around every day and breaking it down and looking at the wins and losses, that's not the way to approach the American Hockey League. The American Hockey League is there to develop your young players, get them ready for the National Hockey League. So as I said, it's an interesting dynamic how this has kind of come down.
So the decision at the end of the day to fire Troy Mann as coach in Belleville would have ultimately been made by Pierre Dorion.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Again, now recommendation, and this is also very interesting, the dynamic of, you know, you have both Manns now, and one is assistant GM, although I think that's obviously more on the personnel side, still involved in the scouting, running the amateur scouting. But all of a sudden, what appeared to be a fairly well-oiled machine, interesting as Bonus comes in that this happens. But at the end of the day, yeah, you are not at any time turning around and firing the coach and then calling the general manager. This would absolutely have to be stamped by the general manager of the Ottawa Senators.
Now, when you were the GM of Washington's farm team, was for, and how many years did you do it?
7 years.
7 years. Was it always owned independently, or was it ever owned by the Caps?
Always independent.
Okay, so that's a bit of a different dynamics than it is now, where I think I believe every NHL team owns its minor league affiliate.
Different, but not different, Jer, because really at the end of the day, all the hockey decisions are made by the NHL club. What is only different now or back then, there was a little more pressure from a standpoint of needing to sell tickets. But even at that, that didn't factor in. Like, you ran the hockey. Nobody in the local ownership had any say in that. The only say they had in was, you know, again, trying to make sure the product was good, trying to be supportive and work together. But the hockey operations itself, and even more so now, like I said, there is no pressure, you know, like the Hershey's and maybe Rochester's have a little bit here. Mm. But overall, no, it is everything to do with hockey. Like, none of it is business related.
So the timing of this to me is a little bit curious. So Belleville played last night, and the firing happened right after the game last night. They had not played since Saturday before that. So you had a period of from Saturday until yesterday, in which the team was practicing, whatever, and then they didn't play a game, and then they play again tomorrow, Saturday night, and then it's the American Hockey League All-Star break, and then they recommence again next Friday. Mm-hmm. So, do you? I'm just struck by the timing of it to do it when you had 5 days from the last time you played. And then you have another 6 days after you play on Saturday to do it in the middle of the two games. To me, it's a lot of a head scratcher, to be quite honest with you.
Well, and to what you're just saying there, JR, that tells me that there's a little more to the story. Because also at the American League level, I know it sounds, and again, in the NHL, you often hear, well, you let somebody go at a time when there's a window. You know, the American Hockey League really is not approached that way. It's kind of just trying to coddle together a roster. You've had all these injuries, you're working. So to try to pinpoint why it's happening now versus another day, I read nothing into that other than the whole thing is just strange. You know what I mean? So you know, it's just different. You know what I mean? The American Hockey League. But why you'd kind of do it now and as
even
the,
after a game though,
yeah,
the next morning.
Well, that for sure,
right?
And that's why, you know, I'd like to kind of get a little more read, or you know, I don't know if we'll ever get a total read, but it tells me there's a little more to it, Jer, because there's nothing you could, from a standpoint of, by all accounts, being a real good pro. Again, you have the brother dynamic, has done such great work for the Ottawa Senators. Is there something more to the story at the end of the day? That's all that you could read into it, because it is very bizarre. It's even more bizarre in a sense of, you know, I think we all agree that an ownership change is coming fairly quickly to the Ottawa Senators, and how this is all going to play out for everybody involved is certainly up in the air. So, you know what I mean? Like, most times you wouldn't even see a change where, you know, who knows who's going to be around in another 3 months or into the summertime.
To give you some context, and I'm going by people who have covered the American Hockey League in terms of media for a long period of time, and so have some pretty good historical knowledge of the league, that coaching changes at the American Hockey League level in season for performance-related reasons are very rare.
Oh, yeah.
Very rare. There are changes made because minor league coaches are brought up, because there are changes at the NHL level.
Yeah.
But by and large, and you know, one of the people I follow, Patrick Williams, writes about the American Hockey League. He said he went back to 2010, and he could only find two coach firings at the American Hockey League level for performance related reasons in the past. I think he went 13 years. You know, there have been some, as I mentioned, where there's been call ups. There's been others where maybe it was health related.
Yeah.
But for the most part, to do what Ottawa has done is very rare.
Yeah, and as I said, and that's the way it should be for most organizations, Jared, because, again, I go back to Luke Richardson's time in Binghamton, and in a perfect world, and certainly when Mann had the horses, and we point to the year we went down, and you watch Norris and Batherson and Paul, they were very poised to take a nice run, and that was kind of the perfect world, because what was so cool at that time, they were winning with young players, which, again, doesn't happen on the American Hockey League level. Now, all of a sudden, COVID comes, the season's taken away from you. But most teams quite simply view it, JR. You look at your handful of prospects. Are they playing enough? Are they developing properly? Do you have a good situation around them? Not often do you look at wins and losses. And the other thing, you know, traditionally, a lot of the teams that end up winning a bunch, JR, well, they have older players. And a lot of times the younger players don't get an opportunity. So at least for me, outside looking in, the balance, much like Binghamton, again, well, the results are simple. Like, if I had my American League team winning all the time and nobody's being developed, who cares? You know, I need players developed, and I just think Mann has done. And again, credit to the whole organization. Mm-hmm. You know, and that goes to Pierre Dorion, goes to everybody. But you certainly look at Sean Donovan. You go to the development team, to the coaches. I just think organizationally that draft and development obviously has been their strength, and he's been a huge part of it.
So I am told that the players were shocked by this happening, and in fact, I don't want to speak to that, because I don't know that. The other thing I was just about to say. So, but that the players were shocked, that the players did not see this coming.
No.
Next hour, we're going to play some audio for you because Troy Mann actually appeared on the Coming In Hot podcast earlier this week, believe it or not, and there is nothing within that interview that would suggest that any way whatsoever that he had any inkling that anything was off regarding, you know, his future employment as the coach of the Belleville Senators. Yeah. You know, he was talking about, you know, everything from, you know, we got to make a run here at the end of the year to try to make the playoffs. Everything was about kind of looking forward to, you know, what will transpire the rest of the season. So I would think very much that not only were the players taken by surprise, but the Troy Mann himself was taken by surprise when he was let go after the game last night. All right, so share your thoughts. You can text us at 12-1200, tweet at us at TSN1200. Again, the Belleville Senators firing head coach Troy Mann after their game last night. We should mention that David Bell, who has been the assistant down in Belleville for the last 4 years, he will take over on an interim basis and will remain for the rest of the season. So there is no one riding in on the white horse necessarily that they have been had under wraps that they wanted to start working with the players right away. It'll be the same staff, just minus Troy Mann going forward. All right, your thoughts are welcome. Again, text or tweet, and we'll continue to talk about that throughout the rest of the morning. Certainly a surprising development. Things are never dull. When, you know, it's like there just hadn't been enough drama with the Ottawa Senators lately when all they did is, like, win the last four games. Last night, they stirred the pot a little bit. All right, more on that coming up throughout the morning. We'll take a break when we come back. It's All-Star Weekend. We'll chat about that and everything else going on an Ottawa sports weekend straight ahead on Sports Radio. TSN 1200. All right, welcome back. 6:46 on this frigid Friday morning. It's minus 37 right now with the wind chill. It's a chilly one. A little nipply for you this morning. Okay, some texts come in at 12-1200. Again, when you text us, standard messaging rates apply on the Ottawa Senators / Belleville Senators firing of Belleville coach Troy Mann after their game last night. From unsigned, this organization is its own worst enemy. From unsigned, they fired the wrong coach. From unsigned, guys, when does Ottawa ever do the conventional thing? From Bill, the one person in the organization that shouldn't be fired has been let go. Bizarre. Something more to this. Difference in system and structure, as in Belleville plays with one and Ottawa doesn't. That's from Bill. How long before Trent joins Troy? Another head scratcher from the organization. Morning, fellas. It's easy to assume this firing is questionable from the outside. And from Rod, please let the good listener know how the firing of Mann makes any sense. Never a dull moment with the Sens organization. That's from Rod. Some of the feedback from you so far this morning.
Yeah, always interesting, Jared. And again, in trying to collect data now, here's where there is a bit of a separation interpretation. All I can go off of is what the press release is. If somebody was to be fired, and I'll go back to unfortunate circumstance to Jim Montgomery, who has circled back and done a great job. If this was something personal or he had crossed the line professionally, then we would see that, would we not? You know what I mean? So it is, again, they're deeming it to be philosophical and play in the same way. One of the things I've never really understood, and I know a lot of teams do it, JR, and again, I say this by experience, trying to play the same system all the time, depending on the American League, the NHL, man, oh man, you better be on the same page where you're drafting the exact type of player that is going to fit with your NHL team. Because quite simply, there are many times I've never understood where you have, when you're a coach, okay, I have a philosophical idea how I want to play. I'll use Rick Bonus as an example, the way they played in Dallas to Winnipeg or other things, but what horses I have and the style of play I have. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can't just go, hey, love, we're going to play the same system, but you know what? I got a bunch of terrible players here. Do you know what I mean? I've never been able to figure that out. And I know certain things, and I'm not technical enough to talk about neutral zone play, but I'm just talking about how aggressive you could be on a forecheck, different things you can do at different levels. It also isn't rocket science in trying to adjust. So anyways, that's just my own philosophy on things. At the end of the day, you're trying to develop the individual, understanding if he gets called up what his system is. But let's not pretend that there's some like incredible variation of, you know, they're playing, oh, wow, that whole thing. They're
Ottawa
doing
Senators, they played like the Russians did in the 70s. Yeah, well, exactly. Very unique.
Yeah, we're going to read. Yeah, so that part, when you interpret just based on kind of the release, it's just really, really interesting as to what exactly has gone on, timing of it and everything else. And to the philosophical part of it, I read in Ryan Bonus, but in the general manager statement about wanting to get increased performance, like this guy could not have done better work with your farm system last 4.5 years. Well, like I said, he's amongst the very best in the American Hockey League, what he does. Not to mention, it's been in conjunction with his brother, who without his brother and his drafting, I don't even want to think where this rebuild would be. And you credit the general manager on that. I'm not saying it's not also Peter Durian, but man, oh man, to me, when I look at this whole thing, without the work of the Mann brothers, God forbid where the team would be right now.
It was a week ago today that we were a little bit laughing about the situation that Troy Mann was facing in Belleville. Cam Talbot had just been hurt. At that point, Mad Sogard and Antoine Bebo, the regular two goalies down in Belleville, were both injured. Mandalize had been called up to back up because Talbot was hurt. The only goalie that he had available to him going into the weekend, now Sogard did end up playing a game, but the only goalie he had available to him was this guy they kind of signed off the street.
The Mayflower or something.
Logan Flodell, who had a 725 save percentage in the three games.
I don't
they had
know. What,
had to put him in.
He almost had the goals against higher than the save percentage, which even I couldn't pull off. Like, I played some bad hockey, JR.
I think he actually did. I think he was 875 goals against and a 725 save percentage.
That right there, man. That
so,
puts you
but
in
that,
rare
that kind of speaks to, and look, yeah, like Belleville is not unique in terms of injuries at the American League level. Injuries at the NHL level, therefore impacting the roster you're able to put in place on your American League team. I mean that happens to all organizations, but you can only do so much with what you have. And are the Belleville Senators, you know, in terms of improved team performance, are they in a playoff position right now? No, they're not. But they're only 4 points out. They have 17 wins in 43 games. They're kind of scuffling along, but. Yeah. You know, they're competitive in most games. They won last night. So I don't like the cohesion in systematic play between Ottawa and Belleville to that point. Yeah. I don't know. I watch and I guess, again, from the outside looking in, if there is a criticism of who hasn't developed, mm-hmm. I guess the two first-round defensemen down in Belleville and JBD and Lassie Thompson, neither of them so far being able to kind of look like they're NHL ready yet, I guess maybe. And maybe that is the reason if we were to break it right down. But as far as the systematic thing goes, I don't remember anybody being called up from Belleville. And Ridly Gregg was the latest example of, you know, skating in the wrong direction when they have the puck. You know what I mean? Like they look for the most part like they know what they're doing.
Again, and let's be honest here. You watch Belleville overall in the time span, it'll only go 3.5 years. The organization in Buffalo or in Belleville, as far as structure, the way they played, has been far better than Ottawa. So when you kind of point to that, that doesn't make any sense. And as far as two young defensemen, like I said, when I look at the core and when I look at JBD, it's been slow and it's been patient. But there's been nothing that points to me the simple fact that anything has gone wrong in Belleville. And if Troy Mann is going to be responsible for the defensemen now coming up and they're not developing and lose your job based on it, just not buying any of that. And so we'll see. And also, the other thing you have to be really careful of, JR., you have down the road with the Marlies where they spend millions of dollars on players in the American Hockey League. At times, you had greening on one-way, basically, money. The Belleville Senators, and you have to go through
it. They paid huge money. Logan Shaw was the captain of Belleville last year.
Yeah.
He signed a 3-year contract to go to the Marlies at huge American Hockey League dollars.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's
because
a major,
the Marlies are willing to do that.
Yeah,
Toronto.
And it's a major factor, and I don't believe you need to do that. But at the end of the day, if that's the team you're playing a bunch, and again, I would also assume Laval, but I shouldn't say I assumed here. I don't know. But it's a major, major factor, and I think people would be a little surprised under the hood, and I don't think you have to. I mean, Ottawa's done a good job, and Belleville's done a good job of finding adequate American League players. Now, we had a big wave of players come through the system that come through. You don't have as many, but I look at even simply, and I know Ridly Gregg's a hell of a player. But even the little bit that was needed to be done there to get him up and running, to put up the points he did with not a very good group, and all of a sudden, you talk about a week ago how things have changed. It only took them 45 games to move Batherson off of the top line. It was a Norris injury where Ridly Gregg comes in, and all of a sudden, you're on a winning streak. But let's save that debate for another day. But like I say, it's just really, really strange timing, JR. And I guess until maybe we'll never get the full story. Other than when I look at this from the outside, like I said, I just think the work that he's done has been just absolutely incredible there, and it's a very, very bizarre firing.
All right, we'll hear from again from Troy Mann from the Coming In Hot podcast, some clips from him next hour. Okay, quickly, NHL All-Star Weekend is with us. Players all did the interviews, all beachside yesterday. Ocean in the background, nice and warm. Looked nice. Tonight, skills competition, 7 o'clock. Fastest skater, Connor McDavid, apparently asked out this year.
Okay.
He's your natural. Yeah. But apparently he told the NHL, I always have to do the fastest skater. I'd like to do something else.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's going to do the target shooting this year, the accuracy shooting.
That'd be fun.
So no Connor McDavid. So the fastest skater. Sorry, the upper deck NHL fastest skater. Trademark. Kevin Fiala, Dylan Larkin, Kirill Kaprizov, Cale Makar, Chandler Stephenson, all-star. Andrei Svechnikov are the six players participating in that. They're doing, I was just kind of reading the rules.
Yeah.
They're actually allowing them, I believe it's up to 3 feet of a little bit of a head start, if you know what I mean.
Like that. Yeah,
they're
like
not
that.
Going from a standing start because there was, I think it was actually Larkin that set the record once. But he actually did it from a skating start, whereas everybody else did it from a static start, which, as we know, would be a huge advantage.
Oh, absolutely!
So,
yeah.
So if you get a little bit of a run up, the clock doesn't actually start until you breast the start line, as it were. So there's your fastest skater competitors. The breakaway challenge. The celebrity goalie is Roberto Luongo. So this is the one. Was it last year that Zegras did the thing with the? And then Jack Hughes had the mini me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So this year it's Mitch Marner. Apparently, Crosby and Ovechkin are going in together on something.
Yeah.
David Pastrnak and Matthew Tkachuk are your four contestants in the breakaway challenge. The 10D tandem, I don't even really know what this is. It involves, they've got a bunch of national team female members that are down there to participate in shooting on the goalies.
Okay.
But there's also, the goalies somehow shoot, but some of them, the goalies work in tandem because there's two for each division. I don't even know that I understand it, but that's the 10D tandem. Let's see here. The splash shot.
Yeah.
So this is the one where you're shooting pucks at targets, and it's a dunk tank thing where you're shooting pucks at targets.
Yeah.
And you're in teams of two, and the Tkachuks are together on a team. So you know that'll be fun. Matthew and Brady are on the same team.
Yeah.
In terms of the dunk tank, as it were. Accuracy shooting, as I mentioned, there's a pile of guys in that. I think maybe that's the easiest one, and the one where, well, I shouldn't say you can least embarrass yourself in that one. We've seen guys that have just missed, well, where time runs out, where they're like, I'm just out of time here.
It's the easiest one to do when you're super hungover, though, or even you've had a few during the day.
Good point.
So
by
very
you.
Stationary.
Yep.
And Ray Bourque, I think, had one of the great moments back in Boston back in the day. But when somebody goes 4 for 4, but yeah, I think that's the one there, just a light sweat.
Okay, hardest shots. Erasmus Dahlin just got added because Tage Thompson is out with injury. So hardest shot is Dahlin, Seth Jones, Josh Morrissey, Ovi, and Elias Pettersson. And then the last one is the one I'm intrigued because I think it has the unique ability to just be a total gong show and just be really ridiculously bad.
Yeah.
Is this pitch and puck, which involves hockey and golf. They try. I was watching the game the other night between the Bruins and the Leafs on Sportsnet, and they were trying to do a demo.
Okay.
But I didn't really. And maybe I'm the only one. The demo didn't really say what they're doing, but it involves shooting a puck down a fairway. So they're on a golf course. At some point, a golf ball, they're shooting either the puck or the golf ball. I'm not quite sure. It's par 4 onto an island green. And. Like golf, it's trying to get the ball or the puck in the hole in as few shots as possible. But the demo
is this pre-taped, Jer?
I don't know.
Where the guys at nighttime are going to be at a golf course?
I don't know, Simmer. Great question by you. There's only four players who have signed up for this: Johnny Gaudreau, Clayton Keller, Jason Robertson, and Nick Suzuki are the only four that are signed up for this this pitch and puck thing. Which I think like they try something new every year.
Oh, for sure.
And some of them are okay. Few of them are disasters.
Yeah.
This is new this year. I think this is the one that has the potential of, especially when you're shooting into an island green. I just put 17 in a row in the water.
Yeah. See, I'm still, I feel like I know you're not a fan. I feel like the St. Louis shooting from the stands had potential, Jer. It just needed a little bit of practice.
Had potential is the key.
No, I know. But
I'm not even sure about that.
I didn't mind it. But again, it ended up being way too difficult. And any of the things that you're trying to do, this is the problem of trying to kind of showcase the skills, still have a little bit of fun with it, and at the same time, keeping the players enthusiastic. And then we all know that's pretty tough to do.
All right. So this will be our, we could go Troy Mann. We'll decide over the over the break what our web poll question today is going to be. It's going to be, so if it is going to be All-Star game related, because this popped into my mind yesterday. So NHL All-Star weekend. How much are you tuning in for? All of it? Just the skills? Just the 3-on-3 games, which are tomorrow? Or none of it? All of it? Just the skills? Just the 3-on-3 games, none of it. And put aside your person. Hey, it's too cold. I'm gonna sleep all weekend. Whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, let's pretend this is a normal weekend. You're free to watch if you so choose. What are you doing? You watching all of it? Watching either of or both of the actual competitions, or none of it?
Are you going with me?
Yeah, I'm asking.
Yeah, no, I from the skills side, Jer, tonight might be home. Might put
that
it
aside.
On.
But let's just say you're home. It's available to you.
Yeah.
Do you have interest? Is what I'm asking.
I have a tad of interest in some of the skills, just to see how it goes down. But the rest of it, no, to be quite simple, I it's not my thing. So yeah, I wouldn't. You know, I have not finished off the Pamela Anderson documentary, so that's probably... No, I'm being sincere. No, but I'm not like... And the skills thing has been around for 30 years now. And there's some... Just a tad. But no, it's certainly not something that I'm like, okay. You know, if by chance I'm home and around the TV, Jerry, uh-huh. you're spinning around. But even at that, I can't say. What about you?
And by the way, and this goes for the listeners if we go with the question.
Yeah.
Watching a five-minute... edited version does not count. I'm asking you, are you going to invest your two or three hours of your night tonight or your day tomorrow after, because the games are actually late in the afternoon tomorrow, are you going to invest that time?
No, I wouldn't. And here's a few things. There's a little bit of the skill. I do find the accuracy shooting and somewhat to know the results of. But the three-on-three hockey, first of all, it can be very exciting. The issue you're running into is if you've ever gone out to the Sensplex in the summertime, and again, I've been around a lot of, you know, quite simply, at the end of the day, this is like watching guys that are preparing for an NHL season, right? It's not, you know, there's nothing serious about it. Three-on-three overtime in the NHL at times can be incredibly exciting, but we know when guys are going half pace, when people aren't really trying.
$1 million up for grabs for the winning team.
Well, that's a good point, though.
Split 11 ways.
Yeah, and you know the Tkachuk brothers will be super competitive, but I still don't feel like... That's not enough, I guess, to bring in my interest here.
All right.
Yeah.
Hammer?
I grew up on the skills night, and I still like it. I really do. And I think that this day and age, too, with the youngsters that are in, there's a lot more personality as well. It doesn't always turn into entertainment. Like you say, sometimes you tune in for the car wreck, a little bit of that as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm all in on the skills.
Yep.
Just like when I was younger, just like now, I could really care less about the games. They are so boring. I have zero interest in the games. So I'm all about tonight.
Okay. All right. We'll ponder whether we'll do that question or not over the break, or whether it would be more Troy Mann related.
It would also be interesting where I'm trying to think from the boys' standpoint, depending who's at home, boys or girls. I think if you have children that are into it.
Yep.
And I don't know with the, like, it's funny because the boys were playing a ton of Madden, and now they've switched back to the NHL 23. And they're playing that a ton. So would them and their buddies be interested in watch it? I would say probably. And the other thing that's really neat, and I'll ask the kids, hey, who are you playing on as your team there? Like the Sens. Like I've said this before, it is neat that the Sens brand and Brady Tkachuk and other players here have become cool again. Which I know that sounds funny to people, but it means a lot. You know,
it wasn't really, the case for quite a while.
No, but it really means a lot. Hey, what do you mean you're taking the Sens? You loser, like a few years ago. Now it's like, wow, you got Timmy. No, but it really is. And you know, so how would you view that? And certainly for Hammer at home, you know, that's a big difference. If, hey, it's kind of like, hey, let's sit down and watch the skills. It's kind of cool.
All right, we'll take a break. Top of the hour news and sports update. And then when we come back, more on the decision by the Sens to fire Troy Mann as the head coach of the Belleville Senators. We'll hear from him coming up in the next hour, right coming up next, I should say, right here on Sports Radio, TSN 1200.